Making capitalism inclusive. Are we talking rebranding or a revolution? Coming up on our programme, can anything change capitalism other than the capitalists themselves?
Capitalism is at something of a crisis point. There is a serious question being raised about whether this form of capitalism can survive much longer or whether we need to make some very important adjustments.
A big question we'll be looking at in the second half of our programme. This is NewsHour from the BBC. I'm Tim Franks. A rather unusual talking shop opened in London today for one day only and peopled by a star cast, including the boss of the International Monetary Fund, the chief executive of Google, the governor of the Bank of England and more. The event was called the Conference on Inclusive Capitalism. And then, in the way of these things, you got a colon followed by the slogan Building Value, Renewing Trust. Even before that, some listeners might be spluttering that the words capitalism and inclusive are an oxymoron, a contradiction in terms, made all the more plainly contradictory by the well-documented growth in inequality and the recent financial calamities and economic turmoil. So what is the case for change? Lynn Forrester de Rothschild is the conference organiser.
If we lose that social compact with the public, then we in business are out of business. So let's get straight that this is not a talking shop. What we're talking about is let's imagine a world where a CEO is given 12 years, not 12 weeks, to build her company. Okay? Let's imagine a world where the financial sector is there to support the real economy. Let's imagine a world where corruption is not just a series of laws on a few countries' books, but it's actual corporate behavior in all companies. And this is much more a journey than a destination. But we can begin to have investors who drill down with corporate executives and say, what are you doing about corruption? What are you doing to invest in the supply chain? What are you doing to become better stewards of the community?
As I mentioned, among the deities of Mammon at today's conference was the boss of the International Monetary Fund, Christine Lagarde. After her speech, she spoke to the BBC's business editor, Kamal Ahmed. He asked her why she had focused on inequality as one of the main challenges for capitalism.
Inequality is rising, and to the extent that inequality is not particularly supportive of sustainable growth, it's an issue and one that we have to look at carefully and try to address in order to maintain stability and sustainability of economies.
You mentioned in your speech the UK, France and Germany, that inequality had increased in these countries. You said in the UK, to figures not seen for nearly 100 years.
That's right.
What are the problems with those developed countries?
Well, they have clearly an issue of growth. They have an issue of fiscal allocation. And those are matters that need to be dealt with on multiple fronts. The issue of growth has to be tackled with sound fiscal policies, with the right set of incentives, with growth-friendly policies going forward. The issue of rising inequalities can also be addressed from a fiscal angle, and that's the one that we generally analyse and recommend. In other words, spending in the right areas that favour less inequality. And by that I mean spending on education, spending on health. On the revenue side, clearly those fiscal rules that are conducive to less inequality would include the likes of tax on real estate, appropriate but not excessive tax on inheritance, appropriate and properly redistributive tax on income.
What is the risk if we don't act?
Well, the risk is that growth be less stable, that growth be less sustainable, that the whole situation be more uncertain, and that trust be more damaged. So if you take that whole combination, it's not particularly exciting as a prospect.
Christine Lagarde from the IMF with some magisterial understatement. So to pick up on her phrase, how exciting a prospect is the idea of these big figures from international finance gathering to scratch their heads over capitalism? Robert Reich is Professor of Public Policy at the University of California at Berkeley. He was Secretary of Labor in the Clinton administration. How excited was he?
Well, it's good to talk about all of this. I mean, capitalism is at something of a crisis point. We have crisis points of capitalism every so often, but now we are seeing a capitalism that is not working for many, if not most, citizens of most advanced nations. Almost all of the gains in terms of wealth and income are going to a rather small group at the top. There is a serious question being raised, not only by French economist Thomas Piketty, but by many others, about whether this form of capitalism can survive much longer, or whether we need to make some very important adjustments.
Why could it possibly not survive much longer?
For a number of reasons. First, if most of the income and wealth is going to a small number at the top, there's simply not enough purchasing power in the middle class and the poor to keep economies running, functioning smoothly. There's not enough demand. Secondly, with all that money at the top, there is a tendency for politics to become corrupted, either directly by payoffs or indirectly simply because the wealthy and those with high incomes have so much political influence by virtue of who they are. And thirdly, we see in many advanced countries, this kind of concentrated income and wealth is causing a polarization, an extremism, a degree of animosity that we have not seen in many, many years that's unhealthy for the body politic.
What's to say, though, that there should be reform from within those who have their hands on all this power? And what's to say that it actually should be just the job of governments to force their hands?
Government is not a separate entity with regard to how capitalism performs. And so if there are going to be reforms, government is going to have a major role to play. And the United States and Britain have led the way over the last century and a half. As long as we understand that reforms are necessary, as long as we understand that capitalism is a kind of work in progress, we will have a chance to continue to make progress. Undoubtedly, in the short term, those who have amassed a great deal of wealth can do quite well by continuing to manipulate the game. But that is a very dangerous game. It doesn't lead to widespread prosperity. And that means, at the end of the day, you're either going to have revolution and upheaval, because most people can't tolerate that kind of a game, or you get a chronic problem of very, very slow growth. Neither outcome is satisfactory or sustainable.
It's remarkable to hear a man such as you talk about the possibility of revolution and upheaval. I mean, have we really got to the point where capitalism, I mean, it's very difficult to think of it being replaced or destroyed as the governing system, but have we got to that place?
No, we haven't. I don't think the choice is between capitalism and another ism. The choice is really between the present form of capitalism and a capitalism that works better for more people. And again, this is not a new debate. This is a debate that we've been having in the United States, in Britain, in Europe, for over 150 years.
If it is so obvious, the need, and if the debate has been going on for so long, why has there been failure up to this point?
There has not been failure up to this point.
Well, we've just seen, the financial crash there.
Well, but again, take the long-term view. In the progressive era, major reforms. In the 1930s, major reforms. In the 1960s, it is time again for reform. When people are talking about the danger of upheaval and right-wing or left-wing revolution, I don't think that anybody is contemplating the end of capitalism as we know it. The danger is that the right and the populist left gain so much popular following simply because so many people feel left out that we destabilize the system.
Robert Reich, now at the University of California in Berkeley.